If one of the ushers can just give me, pass me a bulletin this morning, I encourage you to always, always read this bulletin. When you are finished reading them, pass them on to your friends. Put them on your coffee table if you have one. Put them somewhere so that when people visit you, they can see it. It's colorful enough to draw attention. Praise the Lord. But then beside the color are the contents. You see, this bulletin is attractive on the outside. But if the contents are nothing, then it's useless. But this one has wonderful contents. Every Sunday has wonderful, wonderful contents. Praise the Lord. If time permits, I'll touch on some of the things inside there. Okay. If you have your Bibles, open with me to a scripture well known to most people, but a scripture that will probably do not understand the importance of it. But this morning, I want to share the importance of that scripture. Psalm number 51. I want you to understand I'm not a preacher. I believe I'm a teacher of the word. Jesus was not a preacher. He was a teacher. Or he is a teacher. Jesus taught, not that Jesus preached. Praise God. There's nothing wrong with preaching. Everybody just has different giftings. Praise God. Psalm 51 and verse 10. Just one singular verse. Create in me a clean heart, O God. And renew a right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart, O God. And renew a right spirit within me. The God we serve, our God, the Jehovah Elohim, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, is accurate. He is precise. He is consistent with his standard. He is exact and he is free from error. There's no error in God. In Genesis chapter 6, he called Noah to build an ark. And he gave Noah precise measurements of the ark and how to build the ark. In Exodus 25, he told Moses to build the Ark of the Covenant with the help of Bezalel and Aholiab. And he gave him exact measurements. In Ezekiel, between chapter 41 through to chapter 43, he told Ezekiel to measure the temple for accurate measurement. He wanted to make sure that what was built was according to measurement. In Luke chapter 12, he said of you and I, that the numbers of heirs I might not have many, but he knows. Hallelujah. They are numbered. Therefore, he also knows how many there are. In talking about hair on our heads, let me tell women, I saw something that kind of scared me a little bit. All these human ears that you buy, this is the truth. Many of these ears from India, Indonesia, these are people who go to an idol temple to worship their idol, and then one of the objectives is for them to scrape all the hair on their head, and then accompany the priest of the temple now sells those hair to a company, and then the company works on it, dyes it different colors, package it, and then they sell it to you. The hair of people who their head is not right, who are worshiping idols. After a while, their hair grow again, they go back again. You turn it into a thing of beauty, whereas God has already made you beautiful. I didn't hear a good amen now. I know my wife will not challenge me when we get home. She's with her natural, and I love it. If you ask me, I even prefer not to wear makeup. She's beautiful naturally. I call her Black Radiance. And I'm not ashamed to say that. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Anyway, all the scriptures have given us, these are proofs that God is a God of standard. And there are many proofs in the Bible to showcase that he's a God of standard. God has set a standard for your heart, my heart, in the same way. God measures our hearts. Not with a tape rule. Jeremiah 17 and verse 10, the Bible says, I, the Lord, search the heart. I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins. The reins there means the seat or the center of your affections. I try your motives. By the way, the title of my message is Walk on Your Heart. Walk on Your Heart. It says, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruits or the fruit of his doings. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, the Bible says, but the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance. Don't look at the way he's dressed. Don't look at his posture. Don't look at his smile. On the height of his stature. He said, because I have refused him. Why? He said, for the Lord seeth not as a man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. He It is the heart that matters to God. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and verse 2, a wise man's heart is at his right hand. A wise man's heart is at his right hand. But a fool's heart is at his left. The one that is beating, boom, 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 boom. A fool only concentrates on his beating heart. But the heart that directs the purposes of life is ignored. The beating of your heart is not the one that directs your life. It's not the heart. Jesus says that out of it comes the issues of life. It's not this physical one. It's the heart that is on the right hand. The invisible one. The one I call your knower. K-N-O-W-E-R. Your knower. The one that makes you either excited or depressed. And in 2 Chronicles 16 and verse 9, the Bible says, for the eyes of the Lord run through and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on the behalf of them whose heart, not whose dress, not whose car, not whose home, whose heart is perfect toward him. All these scriptures we have read is for me to make a case and present to you the importance of your heart, the seat of your life, the one that God is going to measure to determine where you and I will end after we leave this side of eternity. When God measures us, he measures our hearts and not how we look or what we say. It's your heart and my heart that really speaks of who you are. That heart is what really speaks of who you are and who I am. In judgment, we have erroneously concluded on people based on how they look. Oh, he drove a Bentley to church. And he's wearing a canali suit. And a Ferragamo shoe. He's smelling so nice. When he came down from his car, somebody else carried his bag. The train of his wife's clothes are just sweeping the floor. And suddenly you conclude, this is a very important person. Not in church. Did you hear me? The kingdom of God is a leveler. When and if shielding case such a person makes heaven, not that his riches will not make him make heaven. That's not the point. It will be the same like you and I. Praise the Lord. You know, many of us respect people because of what they have. Can I talk?
look at them as demigods. Especially when you need something from them. You think they can make you. I saw a skit of two friends who met after school for a long time. One had first class upper, and the other one was let my people go. And the one who had the let my people go saw his friend with first class upper. He was driving a Mercedes Benz. His friend with first class upper was walking on the street. He was looking raggedy. His shoes were actually not smiling but talking. Every step he took was a flap. The shoe was talking. His friend drove past, came back. They held each other. He said, "Why? How are you? Why are you like this?" "Ah, this is life." "Sir, look at your shoe. I'm going to fix you, man." So he brought out a wad of notes from his pocket, counted in front of his friend. Then he took the rubber band around the wad of notes, took it out and put his money back in his pocket, and now used the rubber band to fix his friend's shoes. And he said, "See you later." You see, that's how many of us have been disappointed by people you think will help you. You hail them. You worship them the way you don't worship God. Even though your motives are wrong, and yet you still get disappointed. We conclude on people based on how they look. And one can come into church not looking too good, and you conclude he's a nobody. Who told you? Who told you? Some come with highfalutin words, and we get so mesmerized. He might even be a preacher. And you are quick after service, pushing everybody, "Let him lay hands on me. I want that anointing he has." Let's even say the man has anointing. Do you know how many years it took him to get the anointing? But you want it just with one laying on of hands. Doesn't work like that. Doesn't work. "Oh, Daddy Gio, lay hands on me. Pray for me. I want the same anointing on your life." "Are you sure?" "Okay. Let's start. I'm starting a 40 days fast. Round. Nothing. No water. No food. Let's go." Actually, Daddy, as a matter of fact, I'm traveling tonight. You know, many times we are not ready for what we are asking for. We're not prepared. Hallelujah. Motives. Motives are of extreme importance to God. Motives. Why do you do what you do? Why? Why are you doing what you are doing? Why? do you say I'm your friend? Why are you obnubbing with that person so that you can be connected into a particular circle? Why don't you go and meet God? Let him introduce you at the right time. You might get into a place in a crooked way. How are you going to stay there? Hello? How are you going to? Everybody's so quiet. How are you going to stay there? If you get there with crookedness, you have to continue there with crookedness. After a while, you'll be found out. You do everything to get close to a person just simply because of what you can get. What you can get from them. That's a wrong heart. It's a wrong heart. You young guys telling a woman, I love you, and it's a lie. It's because of what you are looking for. After you get it, we see it in the Bible. Amnon tried it. Lied to even his own stepsister. I love you, I love you. Raped her, slept with her, pushed her out. May God have mercy on some of us. Hallelujah. Amen. Our motive has a lot to do with who we are and how we function. A lot. We check other people. We like to check other people. We like other people's story. But we refuse to check ourselves. Ask your neighbor, say, neighbor, how far from it is that? Every person's voice here is. Believe me, this is the message God gave me to preach to us today. Today. Amen. The fool's heart is at his right hand. All he cares about is breathing. I don't want to die. Oh, that's all. The wise person's heart is on the right. And he feeds it. He nourishes it. He builds it up. He strengthens it. He knows that's where character comes from and builds the character. I've told you time and time again from this pulpit, God is not interested in your gift. Your gift does not move him. How can it move him? He gave it to you. So how can I mesmerize him with what he gave to you? Isn't that why the Bible says that the gift of God is what? Is without repentance. Whether you live for him or not, you still have a gift. But God is more interested in our characters. What we use our heart to do. Brethren, this is the purpose of the church. It's not just to come to church and get excited. It's to come and weigh our hearts with the word of God. It's to come and examine our hearts with the word of God. is to come so that we can judge ourselves and make adjustments where it's necessary. Because God forbid, having done all this, and then the trumpet sounds, and you are still here. How many truths have you heard that you ignored? And now when it comes to pass, and I knew about it. That's happened to me before. But in terms of the things of God, I won't be caught unawares. I refuse to be caught unawares. Everybody, every one of us, we need a constant heart check.